in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaham. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaham. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaham. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and each step. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prashna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Samadhi is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to Nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure intention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self in other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. than any suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
I just had the gift of some kind of comeuppances mm-hmm. that sometimes happen. I so appreciate those moments when I get that I'm identifying with a point of view because I'm shocked out of it.
Startling, but grateful.
Very helpful. Very helpful. So yesterday in Murphy's there was a huge event, mm-hmm. street fair. Wall-to-wall people, wall-to-wall cars, wall-to-wall drinking and stuff. And so three things about that. Two things about that. So at one point I was driving to get some things for an event I was part of last night, and I passed this couple, and I had attitudes about this couple, which is sort of what the... like not my kind of people. And then I had to drop somebody off and I drove back and I drove past the couple again, only facing them, mm-hmm. and realized that the woman was one of my very favorite people on earth. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was one of those, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I needed that.
You needed that, that seeing that judgment or whatever it was,
yep.
was not you.
Yeah,
and certainly not even accurate.
And how pointless,
uh-huh.
just how pointless, you
yeah.
know? And so just, and walking around town yesterday, you know, this was an interesting thing. This is a, you know, a testament for being facilitated. So I was facilitated this morning, and I was talking about this. And so walking around town, and what I thought was happening was that I was looking at the crowds and all that and thinking, yuck, you know, mm-hmm. and then feeling sort of bad that I couldn't enter into the spirit of the thing. Mm-hmm. And as I was being facilitated this morning, what I realized was, all that was happening was, I was walking around not really wanting to be part of that kind of energy,
uh-huh.
and listening to a conversation on conditioning's part about yuck, and mm-hmm. Isn't that too bad that I'm not involved in it, I can't participate in that.
Uh-huh.
And realizing after the fact that I was enough identified to not recognize that at some level I wasn't identified. Does that make sense?
Yeah. To be identified enough on some level to know that you weren't identified. No, wait.
To not
that you weren't identified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so again, this morning, it was the same process this morning of, oh, that was what was going on. Oh, that wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, we were on a conference call, and suddenly these people appear on the deck. And so I went out on the deck, you know, well, the only people appear on your deck with things in their hands are Jehovah's Witnesses or, you know, proselytizers. So I went out to wave them away. Turned out it was our neighbor and her daughter, whom I had never met before, the daughter, and they were giving us a present for something we had done. And it was exactly the same thing. It was like, oh. And so I just came down here thinking, you know, it's so refreshing to get it that I don't know a thing.
Yeah.
Just don't know a thing.
Yeah, well, and so it also seems like what you're saying is that you get popped out of these things every time. So there's really, in a sense, there's no problem.
Oh, no, there's no problem.
That you can be going along, kind of attending to a story, caught up in this, feeling yuck, I'm not wishing, you know, and then something, life, will pop you out of it.
Yeah, it's one of those wonderful, startling slaps on the face. And there wasn't any self-hate about it. You know, it was just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you that I I just had this little cup of water splashed in my face and realized that the world, you know, there's the world of conditioning and it is its own world.
Yes.
And then there's this other world and it is a different world.
Yes, it is a different world.
It's a different world.
And the world of conditioning is illusion.
It's illusion.
And that's why when we get that, you know, cup of water in the face, it's so easy to get popped out of it. Because you just think if it were real, it would really be hard to extricate oneself from another real world, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's just easily dissolved.
Yeah, initially I think it's hard. You know, I think I can imagine years ago having had that experience of seeing that couple from both angles and thinking, well, in this case, I was wrong or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't have popped me out in that same way, but fortunately, life was up to it yesterday, and it just, you know, I just had to laugh and think, thank God, you know? Thank God that is an illusory world, and that life is kind enough to do that.
I wonder if that's what's meant by the phrase, the grace of compunction.
I don't know.
Have you heard that phrase?
No.
Oh. Well, it's sort of the grace of seeing what we were caught up in, what we were snagged by, what we, you know, compunction. I think is sort of like, you know, the
mea culpa.
Mea culpa kind of thing.
Yeah, it is a grace to see that, and to see how unsatisfying that place is.
Yeah.
And to see that there actually is nothing there that is happy to be there.
Yeah, and that I project anyway. See if this is your experience. Comes from the benefit of having practiced.
Because
like you said at the beginning, you know, an earlier day in your practice life, that would have, you know, conditioning could have swung back around and said, well, this time,
this is the exception.
But what you're describing is absolutely no desire, no illusion that holds anything for you. And now it's just a matter of getting that water in the face and welcoming it and thankful for it. And enough where even then our attention doesn't even wander a bit.
No, and there's no compunction.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the grace of compunction without compunction.
Just the grace.
Yes, just the grace.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea. This is something I'd like to explore and get some clarity on. It was the tweet this morning that letting go is easier than conditioning would have us believe.
Yeah.
And I think it said in such a relief or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it caught my attention. I've been. I've been going, well, there's this place in my body I feel like the energy gets blocked a lot. And it feels like a tight fist and that kind of blocked energy. And it feels like there's a letting go called for. And So then I think it gets taken over by a lot of conversation about what that would look like, or, you know, what has to happen with that, and, you know, what it means, and, and all of that. And I've been exploring with just letting, I've been working a little bit with anger, and, you know, just letting the anger come from that place, see what that's like, working with the visualization, around just bringing some peace and calm to that area. Anyway, it's just something that just arose to explore a bit.
Yeah, and so you notice the sensation, feel, and what occurs to you is that there maybe is a letting go that needs to happen, and then ego kind of rushes in with what all that means, and the visualization and the kind of playing with the anger. It sounds like that's coming from a real place of the spirit of inquiry. Is that what it feels like?
Yeah. I'm glad to have that reflected, because it hadn't been. It is a spirit of inquiry, you know, and it sort of gets translated into the spirit of trying to fix it.
Yeah, but it isn't, is it?
No.
It gets sort of co-opted.
Yeah.
By conditioning, just like the occurring to let it go, is trying to get co-opted by conditioning.
Yeah. Like, there's some energy behind that.
Yeah.
And to, I can see how useful to keep the attention on that spirit of inquiry and like, you know, how does this, affect that, and, you know, what happens with this and what happens with that, and just like going into, you know, the detective mode.
And I don't know if this is your experience, but in my experience, that energy, that place, is a lot easier than ego would have me believe. So like the tweet was saying, maybe, you know, that kind of, I wonder if I did this, that kind of, I mean, I don't know, easy is the best description for it, but tying it in with that tweet, the process of letting go.
Yeah, that inquiry is quite easy, you know, and it's just a moment by moment thing. And the full-blown, what it will be like someday when it's all totally resolved and let go, and, you know, it's just impossibly just hard.
Yes, and that's just the killer of that inner spirit of inquiry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because now it's not the spirit of inquiry, it's the planning for the future, or the dream world, and, you know, what will be, or whatever, you know.
And it's taken all back down to there's something wrong.
Yeah, that needs to be changed.
It needs to be changed, which, you know.
Yeah.
Phew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that sort of juncture point where you're in the spirit of inquiry, just kind of playing with the sensation, and then in slips conditioning.
Yeah, and just seeing, like, and seeing as you're facilitating that, that everything we're given as a spiritual opportunity. You know, it's a thank you. You know, thank you for this, and that this is, you know, because without this or any number of things, you know, I would just probably default to unconsciousness. You know, but then when something gets my attention, it's like, oh.
It's sort of like what we were just talking about. The circumstances are the gift of life, we could say. It's just, it gives us something to explore, to look with, to play with. To improvise with. And to see how how that untangles the karmic knot, how that
leads us a step or two toward.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that word to improvise with. Because there's really no set book of instructions.
Yeah.
You know, and to just explore explore that energy that makes up this form, or Kasakoya, and find out more, and just gain some insight.
It's sort of like the most progressive liberal arts education. It's like Waldorf and all, all these compiled into
all those places.
Where it's just you get to follow that prompt of life and explore this energy form called Sequoia.
Yeah, that's really great. I know, it's like when my children were growing up, I wanted them to go to, the most progressive, places that I couldn't afford, so they didn't, but I wanted that for them so bad, to just be able to follow their own, heart, and all the time it was me that was really wanting that for myself, to just see that in it. And here's the opportunity.
And now it's not money that would keep you away from
exactly.
it. It's the conditioned story. And that's all we
want. Right.
And maybe that has been, and that's all that needs to be let go of.
Right.
And maybe that's why it's so simple.
Yeah, it never was the content. Okay. Very good.
Very good. Thank you.
I want to talk about, but I think it has something to do with love.
Okay.
Let's see. The single most disidentifying perspective for me is, I've said this many times in here, is to just be as present as possible to the fact of the immensity of the universe and the extreme age of the universe and the earth. And that it is just beyond miraculous that we exist. My Enneagram type has the holy idea is about love. It has been a very difficult place for me to think about love in any kind of meaningful sense, other than something like love for my family. But that we exist has to be some kind of manifestation of love, that anything exists. It's just really fun to look at.
Yes, and I project because that's the most disidentified position, it's really fun because it's huge and it's just so expansive.
Yeah. And it just puts self-hate's little barbs directed at this person into a light of, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Really? That's what you're...
Yeah. Really? Really? think that's what you're going to, yeah, in light of this, that's what you're going to bring?
Mm-hmm. And when we're at the end of the daily recollection, the very end, we have new awareness, pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. This morning, that just had a whole different level of significance for me. I read a lot about consciousness. I just found out that the word for the study of awareness and consciousness in human beings is called phenomenology. And it's just so astonishing that so much intelligence and energy goes toward explaining what it is, what consciousness is, and cannot. And how that is evidence that that which all we've got to do is turn around. And consciousness is what you're seeking, is consciousness seek. Mm-hmm. I can't see that. And I couldn't see it for many years. And then, well, 3 years ago, it's kind of revealed and changed my life. Mm-hmm. And, this, I get the feeling that this sounds all very in my head, and maybe it does, but it doesn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. What I've been looking at is that self-consciousness, I mistakes self-consciousness for consciousness. Mm-hmm. That it's possible to be conscious of the fact that you're conscious, be conscious of the fact that you're conscious of the fact that you're conscious. Mm-hmm. That whole string is just useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me get it. So that self-consciousness, that the self cannot be conscious of consciousness. And but then you said something like that, that I am conscious of the self, is conscious of the self, is conscious of the self, is conscious of the self, all the way back, that stream is useless?
Yeah. It's the same process of scientists, all this brain, all this intelligence, uh-huh, energy going into, yeah, finding something that is doing the looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's it's a lovely place when it's an experience and not just a
chance. Yes, yeah. So let me see if this is what you're pointing at. That so there's all this energy and intellectual, you know, pursuit of the description of consciousness, you know, and people study it and they write about it and you read about it and they talk about it and all that, and that's sort of like the selfing or the selfing. That's sort of like that process, and really, it's like, what's the point? Just be it. Just, you know, we can drop it. I mean, maybe a kind of a fun hobby, I guess, or something. But it's like, but what's possible is the experience of it. Because that study in and of itself I think you were pointing at that. That is the, that's been the fact that we can't describe it, sort of undergirds, sort of proves or points to the fact that the intelligence that it is not the small I, the I that is the one doing the study.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a few years ago, it just dropped in for you. You saw it. And that, that was, that changed your life.
Yeah, what you said earlier about the ego can't know consciousness. It's just it.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness or intelligence or
water,
water we swim in.
Really, that's kind of it, isn't it? It just can't happen. Yeah.
And as we were talking about mind-body a couple of weeks ago, and I said, one of the most miserable places I can get into is when the mind tries to understand that mind and body are one. That there's nothing to do there but turn around and walk away from it. The experience that there is a body and there's a mind is so ever present. It's just seems so obvious that they are not one. And yet there's great faith, and there have been moments of experiencing. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. So when there's, when the grace isn't here for present moment experience of oneness, well, it just isn't, is it?
Yeah. It just isn't. And so in that place, it seems like we've got a few choices here. We can either get into a conversation about why that is it isn't here and what that means, and da-da-da. We can go into a sort of an intellectual path of, I want to understand it, which you described earlier as a place of misery, right?
Yeah.
Or we can just rest and it's just not here. I'm going to go look at a tree.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is nothing to do but just walk away from that incessant meaning-making machine.
Yes, thank you. What the soul is at is another manifestation of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that I hope you understand that, because I couldn't make it any clearer than that.
Yeah, it's just another manifestation of love. Yeah.
Makes me cry.
Very moving and deeply resonating with what we can guess is true nature.
So I had a little something happen last night that I, it's like a little window opened in my practice, and it's such a simple little thing, and yet it feels very kind of profoundly shifting in a way, and I don't really know what to do with it, or there's nothing to do with it, but it's just, so as I was getting ready to turn in for the night last night, all of a sudden, I just heard this voice come in and essentially just say, how did it say? It said, well, that's enough of the judgment now. or something along those lines. It was just so sweet. It was like, essentially what it was pointing to was, you know, there, it feels like that there's always something in practice that we're coming up against. Or that's my experience. And as I come up against these things, it's like there can either be self-hate around coming up against it, or a low-level something's wrong, even though it's not articulated, or does it feel really bad, or maybe even what, you know, Sherry was pointing out in her, the guide was pointing out in her latest.
It just kind of hurts.
It kind of hurts. Yeah, it's just kind of there, but it's cool, you know, I can get by with that. But it's not. It's a deep sense of dissatisfaction or whatever. And so that was the message. That was what came in that was so sweet about it was, it was almost like this really comforting, reassuring voice that was saying, yeah, that issue is up for you. It is. That's the next frontier. That's the next kind of quote-unquote barrier that you're getting to see. But it was like this invitation to just come and go through it, or just be. Gosh, I don't even know how to say it. It's a really expansive place. It's really neat. It's like, almost like, don't worry about it. You know, I don't know how to phrase it. It used the word, no more judgments. Let's just drop all of that. Like, no judgment, no criticism. We'll go through it. But we don't even have to really attend to it or pay attention to it, let alone attend to anything that would, you know, like there's no reason to feel anything bad or wrong with it.
It was it sounds like it's like this mentor, this loving presence that sees what this guy is working, you know, that this is sort of the next thing that this guy is working on in his life, and just doesn't want him to feel bad about it. Just doesn't want him to hurt at all about it. And has the power or presence or authority or whatever in this person's life to say, no, that's enough.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was like that too. It really was like, it was gentle, but it was like, that's enough of that. Mm-hmm. It just dismissed. You know, it's like the most powerfully gentle thing.
Yeah.
It was more powerful than whatever, you know, the thing, and yet it did it in the most gentle way. It was like, I don't know, it was just it was a really neat place to have that kind of just, and it just popped in. And I just felt so, I felt really relaxed, and that's something that I've kind of expressed before, that, you know, kind of always being uptight and tense and, you know, kind of, you know, identified with the identity attempting to survive all of this, there's a tension, and so to kind of all of a sudden pop into relaxation, it was, I mean, it felt like the first really nice night's sleep in a little while.
Like, if we're going to identify with something, let's identify with that.
Yeah.
Because it's come from here too. It's right inside. It's available. And you know, the gentleness that you're describing, the I don't know, sweetness, it just strikes me, and I don't know if this is, you know, but it just strikes me that the depth of the power, that the real power in that is that it didn't have, you know, life doesn't have to raise its voice, life doesn't have to beat on drums, or, you know, and it's just, you know, that's enough. And that to me is a little bit about what we were just talking about, with the immensity that the real deal, you know, and so that's available to be here.
As you were speaking, I got back to the first conversation, the word grace. It felt like grace, you know, which, you know, is that sense of being more powerful than anything. And yet, it doesn't have to, there's no posturing it, there's no like efforting, there's no big display of something. It's just a bit, it, you know, it just kind of
Yeah.
And there it was, kind of thing. There's one more piece with it too. Let's see if I can pull it. I remember what it was. So the issue itself that was arising is this place I've come to where it's about caring. And I think I spoke of this, you know, the last time in group. And there's this real place of, you know, caring, you know, wanting to arise. It just feels like this, wanting to do the opposite of the karmic drive. So the karmic drive is to escape, mm-hmm. to check out, to hide out, to do just enough in order to get by, not be seen, and then kind of return to what's safe, kind of feeling in control and distraction, whatever that place is, kind of. And this place of care feels like the intrinsic opposite of that. It feels like an opening to life. It feels like a genuine kind of sincerity and a sense of really, really wanting to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, a place that I was looking at was kind of, you know, finding out for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking first before defaulting into the mm-hmm. kind of conditioning kind of thing. And what I saw with this last night was that there's also an imposter. There's kind of an identity who comes in, it feels like, and I don't know, I'm just kind of explaining this, but it feels like there's an identity who also says that he or it cares. And that produces more of an agenda,
mm-hmm.
and more of like, well, what caring looks like is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really have anywhere to go with this because it's kind of brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to put it out there,
yeah.
kind of publicly and stuff, and really, because I'd like to get support on this from life or wherever, and really beginning to discern between the difference of, you know, the sincerity that does care, that's kind of unquestioned, versus the posturing or the saying, you know, I care.
The pseudo care,
exactly.
Yeah. It's the pseudo care that has an agenda, that has sort of a little, you know, that isn't efforting mm-hmm. of sorts, and mm-hmm. you know, sort of has something going around caring.
Yeah.
As opposed to what feels like the genuine just showing up and engaging with life that you're calling caring, mm-hmm. which you're saying is real caring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those two places are really different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now that you reflected that, I can see that there's a lot of tension in that. There's kind of like this fight in a way, you know, almost like who's going to get the human being?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he going to be turned over to life for that kind of expansive, showing up, genuine, sincere place? Or that kind of fight to get the human being back into relationship with, you know, making it look a certain way, you know, the agenda that...
So it's sort of like it's like the escape route with just a different face, maybe.
Could be, yes. Could you...
Well, so what that pseudo-caring does... So, okay, if I were conditioning and I thought I was losing you, what I might do is come around and use the language that you're now, you know, attending to of caring and say, well, here's what caring is. And then I would introduce all my same tricks to try to get your attention. And then that would then pull you off all in the name of caring. But then, you know, then you could just escape over this route instead.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. I haven't seen it like that. Yeah, so like a whole bunch of stories, you know, kind of that go with caring from the pseudo place are now kind of believable in some way, and therefore that becomes the new distraction to escape into,
mm-hmm.
and therefore kind of refulfilling the karmic drive to escape and missing the opportunity to actually just be present, to show up, engage.
Yeah, if you weren't seeing it,
yeah.
you would, but you are seeing it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. That's true. And it's a dance. That's what it feels like. So there's a seeing it, there's being identified as it, there's being free of it. And you know, there's like all these different, so simultaneously, it feels like all of it's happening at once. Mm. You know, there. Mm-hmm. So there's times where, you know, I'm just identified, you know, and that's, again, I'm acting that out kind of thing. Then there's times where the identification may be there, but my head's a little bit above the water. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of wants to get acted out, but there's this like, I'm not so sure. And then there's times when it's not, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it feels like maybe that's the kind of interwoven dance that's still going on right now.
Yeah.
And I think that, kind of tying this off now, I think that what was so beautiful again about last night, with that place of like, no more judgment now,
yeah.
that really sweet, very powerful place, was that it could hold all of those different states,
yeah.
and all of them were okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, like, I didn't, it was like, well, there'll be a time when you can, it was, the message in some ways felt like, when that's up, we'll deal with it. But now, it's time to shower and rest.
Yeah.
And that's what you know, it's like, just drop off, you know, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And that's who you are.
Mm.
That level, you know, of presence, of watching all this, of being, not, you know, sometimes you miss, sometimes you miss, sometimes you miss, and you are the one that's seeing it all.
Yeah, gosh, that is so good. That is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like, boy, when you laid that out, the image dropped in of that's kind of quote unquote reality. That's real. That's what is me. That conscious awareness, I guess. And then it's more of just like a dropping down into an identification to attend to one of these. But this is actually what's always there. It's that silence that I have.
That sweet power, that sweetness, that invitation to.
Yeah. Boy, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody wants to take the opportunity to be facilitated, but I'm being told I don't know what I'm going to say, so I shouldn't speak. Jump out there anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you're being told you don't know what you're going to say, you shouldn't speak, but you raise your hands and you're speaking, and now you're sitting with whatever is here to say.
Yeah, and there's I'm being reminded, okay. I'm being told I have to use the appropriate language, all, you know, must be present.
Mm-hmm.
I have an old story. That the first retreat I took, there's nothing wrong with you. It's like I knew, I understood this about myself because I've been told in regular life that I talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. Not being told I shouldn't be telling specifics, it should be broader, but I'm going to go ahead and go with what I'm saying. So see, it's like if I come on a Sunday and I don't speak, it's like ego wants that to be a feather in my cap.
Mm. So the process that's going on is that there's this whole big content area ever since your first retreat around talking and whether you talk too much or not enough, or it's good if you don't say anything and all that. And the process is watching what conditioning is doing and going up against it by raising your hands because by conditioning standards, by talking, you're not going to get that feather in your cap.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me, you know, I get that that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, we do when we get it, right?
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
When it's going on, it's hard to, you know, in our heads, it's sometimes hard to get.
Oh, yeah. I'm being told it's appropriate. It's only appropriate to speak when I don't know what I'm going to speak about, because there's quiet, you know, there aren't a lot of people. Like, there's time for me because other people have had an opportunity.
Mm.
And that feels big. That feels like a big, I don't know what that is, but it feels big.
So it feels big. So what the story is that you can only talk, you can only raise your hand and talk when everybody else has really had the opportunity. And since there was space, okay, maybe everybody's done, you can say something now. Is that sort of how it goes?
Yeah, and that's a big, I've forgotten my language, but, you know, monastery language here, but, yeah, that's.
I think we call that crapola's monastery.
Yeah, crapola. Like that. Oh, I love sense of humor here. Yeah, because it's a big karmic bunch of crapola for me. Is yeah. It's linked to, oh, there's a really big one, and it feels connected to, and I've not quite seen it, but it's feeling connected to big story that runs in my head, and I know it's, you know, not me, and that's feels just connected to that, but it feels like it's slipping away, and that is it could be worse.
Mm-hmm. It could be worse.
Yeah, that's just a big message I get all the time from
conditioning.
He goes, yeah,
uh-huh.
It could be worse. So it's sort of like, egocentric karmic conditioning wants to like it could be worse. Like, you can live with this.
Oh.
It could be worse.
Okay.
And I thought that was from my family.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, oh, that must be everybody must think that way, my family. But it's the little bit it keeps coming out when I hear that message, somebody's catching it. You know, presence is catching it and thinking, well, wait, but it seems like you're the only one.
Uh-huh. So let me see if I'm with you. So here's all these stories meant to keep you quiet and small and feeling bad and feeling like you talk too much and you don't, blah, blah, blah. There's all of this sort of this abuse that's going on around this whole issue internally by conditioning. And then as you're seeing it and you're putting it out there, then you get the message, and a big message, well, it could be worse. This is really not, you know, this is not as bad as it could be. And you thought that was something that you maybe got from your family, but now you're not sure. But that's a big message that it delivers. Is it sort of like a threat?
No, it's not a threat at all. It's, well, it is kind of a threat to living life and
yeah.
being present. And
yeah.
Right. It is a threat, but it's not a threatening way. It's...
Yeah,
it's
good,
just
deliver.
It could be worse. Like, yeah. Look, you know, so you're feeling bad about that, but it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and
I just know it keeps
this.
Me small. Mm-hmm. It keeps my life. I don't know. It's
yeah,
it
really contained, and really in its charge.
But it gives me the message, like, that's a good message,
mm-hmm.
because then I can, it's nasty.
It is nasty, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's a whole, I know that, you know, it's connected to that comparison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, other people, oh, their life is so much harder,
mm-hmm.
therefore yours is okay, like it is. Ooh, it feels like I shouldn't even say that. So it must be something.
Yeah.
I can feel something in my stomach now.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, yeah. So
let's punish her now.
Oh, so you really hit on something that it didn't want you. You revealed something it did not want you to reveal.
Oh, now it wants me to forget.
Yeah. Well, I didn't forget. So what you said was it can take you into this comparison. You know, this kind of odd sort of whose suffering is worse kind of weird game that it could get into, because basically it's all about managing you. It's all about managing what you're allowed to say, when, and to what degree, and then judging that, and is that bad enough that you should really express, no, it really could be worse. You should, do you see, kind of, so it's really, it sounds like it's all a big management program. Yeah. And by you saying it, by you putting it out there, by you raising your hands, you're the image that we keep using, you're tapping on your shell from the inside, right? And the setting here is tapping on your shell from the outside for your freedom. For your freedom from this whole unholy management system that's got going.
Oh, it's...
Does that feel...
Oh, yeah, but it's just very relentless here. Like, I'm being very convinced. If you don't know what you're going to say, don't raise your hand.
Well,
because I'm being punished for raising my hand.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And is there someone who isn't convinced that that's true?
I'm sorry?
Is there someone who isn't believing that?
Oh, yeah, the one that got herself here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one that went ahead.
Yeah. And right
even though I wasn't going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Somehow.
So you're not really being convinced of it. It's trying to convince you, but you nevertheless showed up and raised your hand there speaking. So it seems like those are the actions of someone who's convinced with that story. Maybe?
Yeah, it's...
It's coming at you again, huh?
Oh,
What does it say?
What is it you said? What is it you said? Crapola?
Oh,
that's acceptable language?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of crapola.
Uh-huh.
Breathe.
Yeah, so what we were just
talking about... Could
be better. What we were just talking about with that tension, that fight for your... kind of your soul, your... does that feel like a good metaphor that describes what's going on right now?
Yes. That just dropped in, you know. It could be better.
Yeah.
That's like the altar. It feels like that can be,
yeah,
you know. So when I hear that, it could be worse. Because maybe that's a karmic thing. It's so big that it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
I could be present.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
Yeah, you see that as part of the crepola.
Oh, I don't know. No, I'm not seeing
that
yet.
Okay, so that was...
Is that crepola too?
Well...
No, that felt right. No. Stay away from that.
Yeah.
Mm.
That one
goes in deep. Mm-hmm. No, I'm being told it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know, me. What will be revealed will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's something in the recitation. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Breaking the egg.
Yeah.
Opening the crack.
Yeah, Justin.
Just seeing how it really is, all comes down to the voices.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much control I can have of a person.
Yeah.
When it's not real, it's not here, you know, it doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
But if we believe it, it just takes us down the track and it has complete if we're believing in complete control over our experience of life.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? And in a way, that's what we've been seeing in every processing this morning, is that it's, you know, whether we are giving our attention to that which we recognize as life, or giving the attention to the voices. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that they have our attention, they have our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just so grateful to know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I don't know it all the time. If I'm believing it, I've lost my understanding of that. But just to have, it's like a technology, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Just to have that, because without that, I think most of the world is without that,
yeah.
It appears. And it's just impossible to navigate through life in any kind of effective way without that technology, basically.
Yeah. And what when you're... when you find yourself without the technology, you temporarily lost it or the signal is gone, mm-hmm. what have you found helpful in bringing it back?
Well, first thing came up was just waiting.
yeah.
Sooner or later, it will change. But that's because I've been in practice. I don't think that would be the case if I wasn't in practice. But, you know, all the things we talk about, I mean, just having that. It really is interesting looking at it, because it really does come down to, am I aware of how the whole thing works? You know, that there are voices talking to me, creating a me who is believing them, and that me separate from life, but fundamentally confused mm-hmm. about everything and how the thing works, and disconnected and not able to just respond mm-hmm. in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand that, that clears everything up.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, or at least it makes the opening for, you know, before too long, probably I'll disidentify, because that is sort of like a searchlight. It's going around looking for the identification place.
Yeah.
But as far as, I think it's just like, you know, the basic practices, like, you know, following the breath.
Yeah.
Feeling the sensation in the body.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of things, because it's like that's the same area where that understanding is.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm kind of in that area, before too long I'll bump up into it. And, oh, it's kind of like what we started off with this morning. It's like, you know, there's like a little reflection. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I see, thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, yeah, like a little splash of water there.
A splash of water.
And mm-hmm. it feels like what you're describing is, though, the structure really needs to be put in place. In other words, we've got to at least kind of know how the system is set up.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, then we can just sort of wander around just, oh, mercilessly and hopelessly mm-hmm. in this house of mirrors of suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but once we have that, once we kind of get a sense of that, even conceptually, as long as we're bringing the practice and awareness, some of the tools, then we can begin to find our way.
Yeah, and of course we have experiences of that too. You know, we have lots and lots of, especially the longer you go, the more experiences you've got in the back, in your background, but you're, I don't know, anyway, in the is that the cloud, you know, where you store
yeah,
you know, it's all up there.
Uh-huh.
You know, like experiences of disidentification, of seeing that
yeah.
that's not true. Oh, I really believe it. Oh, no, now I suddenly don't believe it. And
yeah.
I see how I was believing something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know, lots and lots and lots of experiences like that. And it feels like that is kind of backing me up. So in like this particular moment, I may be confused, I may be identified with something that I'm not aware of, but I've got all this experience that's kind of backing me up
mm-hmm.
and there's a sort of pressure to disidentify,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's harder, the more of those experiences there are in the background, then just the harder it is to hang on to something and make it into something real to hold on to.
Yeah, because I would project, because the momentum is actually moving for the freedom rather than for the illusion.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. I hadn't thought of how to say it, the momentum. It's mm-hmm. like it's a movement.
Yes.
It's kind of almost a movement like through time. And it's, it's a direction. And it's, you know, you can't, like if you're running, you can't suddenly stop and turn right. You have to slow down and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it makes it hard to just suddenly, forget
Yeah, yeah. In fact, impossible. Mm-hmm. Because it's not even really a matter of remembering. It is, it's sort of like it's become, as the cells in our bodies renew, that's sort of how it, what we become, mm-hmm. is that consciousness that knows those things that are stored in the cloud.
Yeah, it's true. It feels like that. And then the odd thing for me is then there's a forgetting that that's happening.
Yeah.
And it's you forget what it was like before.
Yeah.
And so there's not literally a contrast. Anyway, it's all
which goes back to what I think you said, it's just you just wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that happens, given that we have all this framework and the tools and everything, then we can just wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we know from our experience that sooner or later, life doesn't support that identification.
Yeah.
And so sooner or later, if we just breathe and just hang out and, you know, pay attention the best we can and feel what's going on in the body and pay attention to the beautiful weather and, or whatever, then there'll be a reflection that will cause us to see what's going on. And,
Oh, yeah, that's just really good news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And thank you all.